Amen. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. It's a good song. They were practicing that song when we started out in our Through the Bible reading the other day, and I was reading in the book of Genesis during my time, right after the morning service, and they were practicing that, and that's a good song to read, Genesis. It's exciting, and in the beginning, and then in the end, it's going to be glory, glory. Amen. You say, you know, I'm not cut out for that kind of praise in the Lord and being excited. And you are going to feel weird in heaven. You really are. You might as well get your smile on because I'll tell you somebody who's real comfortable in heaven right now. That's Al. He's that big old smile on his face, and he, you know, you get to heaven, it's just a constant smile. It's all good. I want to talk to you this morning about our precious salvation, our precious salvation. And chapter 2, we just get a little glimpse of how precious our salvation really is. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're missing out. You really are missing out. And I can understand you maybe not understanding glory, glory. I can understand you maybe not understanding being excited about heaven and about going on. I can understand that if you're not saved today. But I'll tell you this, we're going to show you how to be saved and give you an opportunity to get saved. And then you can also understand why we have such a precious salvation. Father, thank you for that salvation that you give us. And I pray that you would help us to understand a little better today. And Lord, that we could leave here just rejoicing over the precious salvation that we have. Bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Precious means of great value, like we might talk about precious metals, gold and silver, rubies, those kinds of things. So of great value. Precious also means highly esteemed for quality. In other words, it's like precious memories that we would talk about. So highly esteemed for the quality, a precious memory that we might have. Another definition is dear or beloved, like a precious person. The word precious came to mind often as I thought about Al Morin, and he's just a precious, precious Christian, a precious servant to me. And I got to thinking about Al, and he made me think about that word precious, and I thought, we have such a precious salvation. We really do. It is certainly of great value, and we'll talk about that. As far as quality, good night. I mean, you can't have anything more precious. Somebody said, well, you know, I guess I ought to get saved so that I don't have to go to hell. That's a good reason to get saved. But I'll be honest with you, I got to testify today that's just the start of it. I mean, it's good all the way. It's good every day. It's been good ever since I got saved at the age of 17. So certainly the quality's good. You think about our salvation, and it's all based on Jesus. There is no more precious person we could ever have in our lives than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's my first point, and that is, you know, we have a precious salvation because of the precious Savior. And all over chapter 2 here, we see our precious Savior. And you know, as I grow in Christ, He just becomes more and more precious to me. As the more funerals that I do, the Savior becomes more precious to me. Are you listening? I mean, honestly, the older I get, the more precious He becomes to me. And I hope that He's becoming precious and more precious to you. He's a precious Savior. Verse 4 says, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. The Lord Jesus is precious. Verse 7, it says, verse 6 is, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He is the cornerstone. That is from Isaiah 28 and verse 16. He's the cornerstone of my salvation. I mean, honestly, I would not have a precious salvation were it not for Jesus, who is the foundation, the cornerstone of that very salvation. Without Him, the building falls down. Without Him, there is nothing. Without Him, my salvation does not exist, and neither does yours, by the way. Verse 7, it says this, Unto you, therefore, which believe He is precious. Unto us who believe He is precious. That is a thought that the world doesn't understand. In fact, the Bible goes on and says, but unto them which be disobedient, to them, He's not precious. The world doesn't understand. They look at us like, what are you people doing? What is your problem? Why are you in church on a Sunday? Or they look at us like, come on, how can you rejoice? How can you sing glory, glory? How can you be happy? I mean, your church has been broken into 3 times in the last few weeks. You're supposed to be discouraged and down. I'm sorry, I have a precious Savior. Who's given me a precious salvation. And it's all because of that Savior. There's no way. We have an opportunity to sing. We have an opportunity to praise Him. We have an opportunity to worship Him. We have an opportunity to delight in Him. I'm not going to hang my head. I'm not going to be down. I'm not going to be discouraged. Oh, but preacher, you just had a funeral service for one of your deacons, a great servant, and I know that hurt. Well, yeah, but that just gives me more opportunity to praise the Lord. That just gives me more opportunity to realize what a precious salvation that we have. And it's all based on the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. I wish some of you would get a hold of the fact that He's a precious Savior. He is a precious Savior. You look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. Here it's talking about what we want, silver. Well, it's worth a lot right now, isn't it? But you couldn't be redeemed with it. Your salvation couldn't be bought with it. Are you listening? I mean, you can't. You're not going to get to heaven with your silver. Well, wait a minute. Silver and gold here. It says you're not redeemed with silver or gold. Boy, we want that gold, though, don't we? We want that silver, don't we? But it's not able to buy our salvation. That silver and that gold can't get you and I to heaven. Never could. Never will. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. So what are we redeemed with? Oh, here it is, verse 19. With the precious blood of Christ. Now that's how we can be saved. The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. How's the blood so precious? He never sinned. It's the blood. It's the blood that wipes out our sin. It's that blood. That's precious blood. Now, yeah, we're all sinners. There's nobody in the room here that hasn't sinned. But it's the blood of Jesus that takes away that sin of you and I. It's precious. And He's precious because He hung on a cross shedding that blood for you and I. He could have come down. I like that old song that we used to sing at camp meeting in Flint. He could have come down. He could have come down anytime. He could have come down off that cross, but He didn't. And He shed His blood, precious blood. It's precious because it's the price that was paid for our salvation. Oh, listen, Al Moran's running around in heaven right now on those streets of gold, and he's breathing celestial air, and he's not hooked up to any machines at all, and he's having a time. You talk about singing glory, glory. I mean, Al's having a wonderful time, and he's hugging folks with both arms. Amen. Listen, some of y'all ought to let it get hold of you that we have a precious Savior. We have a precious, precious Savior. And, it's unto you, therefore, which believe He is precious. I ask you a question. Do you believe He's precious today? You might want to tell your face when we're singing about Him. Amen. See, my wife's precious to me. And especially when she's gone, I get out her picture. I'll look at her picture, and I'll just kind of stare at it, and I'll make goo-goo eyes at it, and I'll think about her and all of that. When's the last time you looked at Jesus like He's precious? Huh? When's the last time you thought about Jesus like He's precious? Unto you, therefore, which believe He is precious. Oh, those that are disobedient, yeah. He's not precious to them. He's verse 8, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. They, again, folks that stumble at the word, they don't understand the word, being disobedient. whereunto also they were appointed. You see, he's not precious to most of the people around us. He's not precious to a lot of your coworkers. He's not precious to those guys in the factory that use his name in vain. He's not precious maybe to some of your loved ones. He's not precious to so many in this world and so many that want nothing to do with what we're doing today. But how about to you? Is he precious? Because I'll tell you what, it's why you don't have, your salvation's not precious if you don't have this precious Savior and he's not precious to you. It's why maybe today you say, you know, my salvation is just kind of so-so and it's kind of ho-hum and you know, it's just not, I'm not that excited. Hey, listen to me. Understand, when you realize how precious your Savior is, you'll start to understand what a precious salvation that you have. And by the way, that's one of the things about Al Moran that made him tell everybody about Jesus. He knew what he had. And he knew it was precious. And he was not ashamed of his precious Savior. Precious. Our salvation is precious because of our precious Savior. Number two, it's precious because of the precious faith. The precious faith that we can have. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 1, 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Precious faith that we have. Precious. You know, it's how you go to a funeral service and people are smiling. It's how you go to a funeral service and people sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's faith. It's a precious faith. It's a faith that we know what the future holds. It's believing that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't have to worry about it. Don't have to wonder about it. Ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's a precious faith. And we've obtained that precious faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We received it from Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's at the very beginning of my walk with God, my salvation. Are you listening? I had to, by faith, I had to believe. I had to believe what He said. Somebody said, you know, it's really hard to get saved. It's not hard to get saved. Don't make it hard to get saved. You're saved by grace through faith. Lord, I believe. I believe you. I believe that I need to call on you to forgive me and save me. I believe. I believe. It is precious, precious faith. Oh, well, that's no big deal. Do it then. I've given the testimony before. Flint, Michigan, we're out soul winning and these gang members come and I went through the plan of salvation. Of course, they're kind of snickering and everything and one of them said, oh, that sounds like an easy thing to do. I said, do it then. Do it then. Well, what do you mean do it? I said, well, admit you're a sinner to God and call on Him to save you. What? Oh, it's precious faith. It's precious faith. It's faith that says to your pride, get behind me, pride. It's faith that says, I know, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit it. And there is absolutely nothing I can do to earn my way to heaven. But you did it, God. And I believe that you did it. And I trust you. Precious, precious, precious faith. The author, but wait a minute, He's also the finisher of our faith. And all through our lives, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. It doesn't end at salvation. I just keep believing Him. Bible says, as I received Him, that's how I'm supposed to walk. How did I receive Him? By faith. Now every day is by faith. Every step is by faith. Every turn is by faith. Every move is by faith. You talk about precious faith? I'm talking about those steps that go down into a valley. That's by faith. Amen? I'm talking about those steps that are up on the mountaintop by faith. Amen. Not by sight, by faith. By God, here's what I believe you're saying in your word, and I'm going to just follow you and do what you said to do. It is precious, precious faith. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith, and our faith comes from Him. It is like precious faith. I think about Jesus in John 17. He's praying, and he's praying so intensely that he's sweating drops of blood, and He prays for you and I. And he prays that we be strong. But again, how are we going to do it? We're going to do it by faith. Like precious faith. Again, it's a precious salvation because of our precious Savior. It's a precious salvation because of the precious faith that he gives us. Third, it's a precious salvation. And boy, we don't like this, but because of precious trials. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. Understand this. Our faith is not like anybody else's faith. It's precious faith. It is miraculous faith. It is unbelievable. It is a faith that has action attached to it. Something happens with our faith. We know that just from the first day we showed faith. And that is when we trusted Christ as our Savior. Hey, at 17 years old, I didn't have any clue what faith was until I called on Jesus and he came into my heart and saved me. Somebody says, oh, you know, you just thought that. No, it happened. It really happened. Well, how do you know? I believe. Well, how'd you feel? Doesn't matter how I felt. I knew it. How'd you know? By faith. That's how I knew. But anyway, I don't want to get on all that. But that's the same thing with these trials. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. It says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. There's something that's even more precious than gold. Again, it's like our salvation. Gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What is precious? The trial of my faith. Trials. Precious trials. By the way, what makes gold precious? Well, it's precious because it goes through the fire. But the trial of our faith, the us going through the fire, the us going through the storm, the us going through the difficult time, God says that's precious. That's precious. And it's going to bring praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Precious trial. You know, Brother Hawkins, the world has trials, don't they? The world has trials. They have trials like we have trials. The worldly people, their businesses get broken into. Their homes, they get robbed. Sure. Things happen. They have funerals. Right? Yeah. They go through tough times. But God says our trials are precious. You know why they're precious? Because it gives us an opportunity to give God glory. It gives us an opportunity to let God work in our hearts and our lives. It gives us an opportunity for God to put his arms around us and give us comfort. It gives us opportunity to lean on him instead of on ourselves. Precious trials. I don't know how many times I've read this passage of Scripture in a hospital. I've read this passage of Scripture in a funeral home. I've read this passage of Scripture in someone's home. But our trials are precious, God says. And by the way, that's when he is the most precious to me. I mean, come on. It's when we need him the most. The trial of our faith. I remember my days of college, and I had all kinds of trials, tough times, but I needed every one of them. And you know, they're precious to me even today. Those trials, those difficulties, because he was precious in them. He was precious. And I'll tell you, as I see storm clouds coming up, and I see trials coming, I see the beginning of a valley, there's one thing I know for sure. And that is, he'll be there. That's so precious. So precious. We've all watched Kathy in her valley. And we've watched her smile. We've watched her serve. We've watched her be busy. We've watched her sing in the choir. We've watched her go soul winning. We've watched her at the fair ministry chasing people down, telling about Jesus. That's a trial. You say, how do you do that? Oh, I'll tell you, because we have a precious salvation that makes trials part of life, makes it opportunity to praise God, makes us realize how precious our Lord really is. It's those times we realize what a precious salvation we have. I've said it, still say it, I do not know how an unsaved person ever goes into a funeral home. I don't know how they deal. I don't know how they ever walk up to a casket. I don't know how they deal with death. But I'll tell you, the trials that we have, they're precious trials because we have an opportunity to praise our God. I hope you're praising God today. Well, you know, I just lost my job. I hope you're rejoicing in the Lord. Well, you don't understand. I just went to the doctor and he gave me a bad report. I hope you're praising the Lord. You know, Naaman Click got a bad report, but he keeps praising the Lord every time I talk to him anyway. Brother Mike Pace is sitting there with a neck brace, and he's had a pretty tough couple of months here, but I keep hearing him praise the Lord. All over this room, there's some pretty tough reports, but I'm hearing folks praise the Lord. It's precious. Well, you're not supposed to praise the Lord. You're not supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be down. You're supposed to be discouraged. You're supposed to hang your head. Listen to me. We have a precious salvation. We have nothing to hang our heads about. Nobody here does. We have everything to rejoice about and sing glory, glory. Number four, it's a precious salvation because of His precious promises. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter 1, 4. I love this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having, watch this, escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That would be our lust. Yeah. Precious promises that He gives us. Precious promises that break the power of sin. Precious promises that says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen? Precious promises. It's always there. Oh, I'm tempted. I got to give in. You never have to give in. Never. But I'm backed into a corner. If you're in a corner, I guarantee He's got a rope for you to swing out of it. He said so. It's a promise of God. All the promises. Can't go through all of them. We don't have time. But all the promises, listen to me, they rest on four pillars that are always going to be true. Every promise in Scripture, you can count on it. You can count on it. And four pillars that they rest on are these: God's holiness won't allow Him to lie. He's perfect. God's holy. He will not lie. He told us not to lie. He'll never lie. Never. You don't have to worry about God lying. Ever. God will not deceive you. He cannot deceive us. Another pillar that His promises rest on is God's perfection won't allow Him to forget. He won't forget His promise, ever. He will not do it. Do you know God only allows Himself to have Alzheimer's under one condition? One time does God have, you know what it is? It regards our sin. Amen. That's the one time. And I don't care how many times, as a saved person whose sins have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ, I've gone to God and said, God, you remember what I did? And I know in heaven He says, I don't remember. I really don't remember. I'm going to tell you this. He never forgets His promises. His perfection won't allow Him to forget. Another pillar that His promises rest on is His truth won't allow Him to change. Regardless of what the rest of the world's doing and churches all across America and Christians all across America, truth never changes. People change. Huh? Institutions change. God's Word never changes. And God doesn't change. His promises don't change. They don't change. Because truth won't allow change. And then the fourth pillar is God's power won't allow failure. Oh, the devil's been trying to mess up God's promises since the beginning. But God's too powerful for the devil. It's not going to happen. He's trying to mess it all up now. Can't do it. We have a precious salvation. Precious because of the Savior. Precious because of our faith. Precious because of the trials. Precious promises that He gives us. Number five is precious wisdom. Proverbs 3, look at it. Proverbs chapter 3. We have precious wisdom. World doesn't have a clue. World has a lot of knowledge, but you can have all kinds of knowledge. You could study science. You could study math. You could study, deep, deep things in dealing with the universe and everything else, and come out of it and believe in evolution. Absolutely amazing. They say we're not smart. We simply quote in the beginning God. I can accept that. But again, there's that precious faith. And they say, oh, you Christians, you believe God created everything? Oh, come on, you gotta be kidding me. That is the funniest thing. Ha! And they laugh, and all that. And then they say, and we say, well, what do you believe? They say, nothing plus nothing times nothing equals something. Well, where'd your protoplasm come from? Well, it just came. Really? Yeah, an explosion took place. What caused the explosion? Well, things. What things? Things. Oh, really? Well, what were they? I don't know. And so when they exploded, then life came. I always thought when explosions take place, death comes. I've never seen an explosion create life. I've seen explosions create all kinds of death. I want to tell them, hold a firecracker in your hand. Let's see how your hand turns out after that. But anyway, I don't want to stay on that, but you have to understand what wisdom is. Listen, Proverbs 3 and verse 13, the wisdom of God is so precious. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. There it is again. And the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. That's wisdom. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have. And that is something God gives. You say, really? How many years of college do I have? None. No. Listen to me. Wisdom comes, according to the book of James, by asking God for it. God, please give me wisdom. You're about to graduate? That ought to be your prayer. Should have been your prayer all along. Should be your prayer if you've graduated 30 years ago. It should be your prayer every day. God, please give me wisdom. Because I got all this knowledge. I've obtained some knowledge through my walk in life, and I need to know what to do with it. Please, God, give me wisdom. And I'll be honest with you, as one who has received His wisdom many, many times, it's precious. I'm talking about to know what to do. I'm talking about to know what to say. I'm talking about to know where to be. I'm talking about to know when I'm supposed to be there. I'm talking about to know how I'm supposed to do something. That's God's wisdom. You ever answer a question and you didn't have a clue what you just answered? Yeah. I'm sure that's happened to you a lot of times. No, that's happened to me a lot of times. It's God's wisdom. How in the world did I know to do that? How did I know what to do? God gave you His precious wisdom. There's so many folks today living without God's wisdom. You see it in the bad decisions. But I'll tell you what, as a Christian today, you don't ever have to go a day without it. God's wisdom. And then number six is we have a precious, precious Word of God. Psalm 126 and verse 6, I'm just about finished. Psalm 126, 6, the precious Word of God. We just spent a lot of time talking about it and because of the anniversary, 400-year anniversary of the King James Bible, and we celebrated and started on a Sunday and read 24 hours a day, 48 hours, then 72 hours, and read all the way through the King James Bible. And that was exciting. But you know, the Word of God is precious. It says in Psalm 126, verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." Precious seed. It's the Word of God. It says, "Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Why? Because it works. This Bible, the Word of God, it's powerful. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says. And we can take it to people and we can give it out. It's precious. The Word of God is precious. You don't think so? Go on a mission field sometime where they don't have it and watch people flocking to receive your tracts. Oh, go in a crowd here in America and try to hand out tracts. Try to survive. But you go on a mission field, some places, I remember going to Mexico and being in a little village in Mexico and we were handing out tracts, and I mean, people just came from everywhere. You know, and they were speaking Spanish, of course, and I kept inviting them all to my birthday party, and it's the only Spanish I know. But they seemed impressed. They didn't care what I had to say. They wanted to hear what God had to say. You know, everybody took a tract. It's awesome. Why? Because it's precious. By the way, without it, what would we do? What would we do? Well, we'd all die and go to hell is what we'd do. Precious salvation, because we have a precious, precious Bible. And then the last thing, why else is our salvation precious? Psalm 116, verse 15. Psalm 116. And verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious death. Oh, death is a terrible thing. Well, I'll tell you, it does bring sorrow when somebody we love is not here with us anymore. But God says it's precious. It's precious. I mean, when you think about, and the Bible says, it's very clear that it's in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, but it took Jesus dying on the cross to make it precious. When Al died, he went right to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're saved when you die, you'll go right to heaven. Present with the Lord. It's precious to the Father because he gave his Son. Are you listening? Al, his whole life, talked about Jesus. I mean, his life as far as when, after he got saved, he talked about Jesus. He acted like Jesus. Isn't that how we're supposed to act? Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, I've done a lot of funerals. I told my wife, I don't like funerals. I really don't. It's one of the most unfair things in the world for a preacher to do. Honestly. What do you mean? 63 years, and I've got maybe 20, 25 minutes. How do you do that? I've never quite figured out how you take somebody's life. You know, some of those funerals are, somebody was in their 90s when they died. And they say, well, preacher, you know, we'd kind of like to keep the service short. Person's in their 90s. And I'm going to talk about them. And 90 years of life, and I've got 20 to 30 minutes. But to God, it's precious. It's precious. You think about it. And you know, I've never died before. I know you're surprised. I don't know what all that's about. I really don't. The Bible says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. I've always just felt like God's going to take care of all that, and it's going to be a wonderful experience. I know that when I first started flying, I was absolutely terrified, and I used to think, well, it's obvious the plane's not going to crash because I feel pretty good about it, or I'm terrified about this, and I always believed that God was going to make me real calm and peaceful just before I died. And I'll never forget the first time I flew, and I felt peaceful, and I said, is this it? You know, and then I got nervous again. But I'm just saying this, you know, for the Christian, it just means going home. It just means if you have eye problems, you don't anymore. It just means if you have ear problems, you don't anymore. It just means if you have aches and pains, you don't anymore. It just means if you're having trouble sleeping, you won't anymore. It just means if you're going through trials, you leave them behind. It just means if you have debt problems, it's somebody else's problem. Amen. That's what it means. What are they going to do? Come up there, sue you? It just means, you know, if you couldn't walk, now you can. It just means if you couldn't talk, now you can. It just means that if you don't feel good, now you do. It just means that if you can't breathe, now you can. Amen. That's all. And you say, oh, you make it sound so good. I didn't make it sound good. He makes it sound good. I just believe him. That's all. It just means gold. It's never really considered precious compared to the things of God. How do you know, preacher? Well, he paves his streets with it in heaven. I'm just saying, we have a precious salvation. Please, whatever you do when you leave here today, rejoice that you have a precious salvation. If you're not sure you're saved, Jesus loves you. He died on a cross to pay for your sins. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve punishment because of our sin, but Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin, and he loves you. He did it because he loves you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please do not leave here without this precious salvation. Don't leave. Don't leave until you can say, I have that same precious salvation. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's talking, no one's looking around. I wonder how many here today would say, preacher, I have that precious salvation. I know I'm saved. If I died right now, there's no doubt about it. I know for sure I'd go to heaven. If you know that today, would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I would never do that. But I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I don't know that. If I died right now, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? I'm not going to embarrass you. Promise that. You say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Raise your hand up. Just slip it up real quick. Pray for me, preacher. I do not know I'm saved. Anyone at all, pray for me. Pray for me. All right, several children. I wonder if there's a Christian here today and say, yes, I'm saved. I've settled that. I know I'm going to heaven. But God has spoken to my heart as a Christian today about something. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand. Raise it up. God bless you. Father, thank you for the precious salvation. And you certainly are a precious Savior. Bless the invitation. I pray you'll meet needs today. I pray if anything, the Lord, you would give comfort where it's needed. Continue to bless Kathy and her family and others here, Lord. There is sorrow when we lose someone we love. But God, we know that it's precious. The funeral's precious. The homegoing's precious. The celebration in heaven is precious. And Lord, the memories we have are certainly precious. Please bless the invitation. Save those that are lost, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.